Welcome back. You're listening to Radio Islam International. The name is Shakir Bayat, and I said this afternoon a special focus on Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, this very sanctified house of Allah Jalla Jalalu, the place where all of the Anbiya had stood at the time of Isra and Mi'raj, the place which served as the judicial office of Sayyidina Sulaiman alayhi salam, the place constructed by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So this very sanctified house of Allah Jalla Jalalu, which we can suffice to say is the forgotten haram. We will be discussing Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa throughout the course of this program. Just a reminder once again, our lines are wide open for your interactive pleasure on 011-854-1548. You can also WhatsApp me on 082-872-0789. I'm going to repeat that. It's 082-872-0789. My Twitter handle is at ShakirB, at S-H-A-A-K-I-R-B. Share with us your experiences from Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, your lovely story of your visit to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and your observations in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. If you haven't visited Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, that does not restrict your interaction this afternoon. If there is anything related to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the amazing story, if you've come across something that you've read regarding the Anbiya alayhi salam in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, please feel free to share it with us. We will be joined by Hafiz Ibrahim Musa, who is currently on the line. We welcome Hafiz Ibrahim Musa to the program. Hafiz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, mulana shukran.
Hafiz, I know it's already premature because you should have been on air on Sunday, but now we're moving it a bit earlier and making you work overtime.
Yes, inshallah, mulana, looking forward to that early morning. Tomorrow from 6 to 9 in the morning we'll be on air. It's called the weekend wake-up.
I'm sure it will wake everybody up. And here with me in studio, we have Brother Muhammad Anwar Tayyab, who has been part of the delegation to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa from the very initial days, which dates back to about a decade ago. And he served as the Amir of the delegation as well. And I welcome him onto the program. Brother Muhammad Anwar, commonly known as Buti. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Shakir.
During the course of this program, we will be crossing over to other very involved individuals as well. Amongst them, Hafiz Bilal Khan from Houghton, Brother Yusuf Mayet, who is currently in Durban. We'll be crossing over to Jerusalem as well and speaking to a very lively, charismatic character. For those who've been to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, they would obviously know him. That is Brother Saleh from the Hashimi Hotel. And then finally, at the tail end of the program, we'll be crossing over to Middleburg and speaking to Mawlana Muhammad Ali. Hafiz Ibrahim Musa, you've coined a very easy to remember 1, 2, 3, the ABC of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. The first being, number one, being Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa was the first Qibla. Secondly, number two, being Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is the second oldest house of Allah Jalla Jalalu. And third, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is the third holiest site for believers. Let's start breaking that up gradually, and throughout the course of the program we will break that up. But let's start by the first point. You say Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa was the first Qibla. Please elaborate.
Yes, shukran for that, brother. When we talk about Masjid Al-Aqsa being the first Qibla, I think many people would immediately associate and understand this one. The ayat of the Quran were actually recited in our Taraweeh last night that explained the entire change that happened. But prior to the change happening, Masjid Al-Aqsa was the Qibla of all the Anbiya that preceded our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the ummahs of believers that preceded ours. And it was our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who, for a significant part of his mission, also faced the Qibla of Masjid Al-Aqsa. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah al-Mukarramah. He had a desire that the Qibla be the Kaaba, but the Qibla was still the Masjid Al-Aqsa at that stage, so he would stand in front of the Kaaba in such a way that he would face Masjid Al-Aqsa and the Kaaba at the same time. And when the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved over to Madinah al-Munawwara, along with the Sahaba, he faced Masjid Al-Aqsa with them for 16 to 17 months. And something, Mawlana, comes out very interesting out of this, that all these famous masajid that we would visit and revere in Madinah al-Munawwara, like Masjid al-Nabawi, like Masjid Quba, like Masjid Qiblatain, all these masajid, beautiful masajid today, were actually built initially facing the first Qibla, which is Masjid al-Aqsa. So that's why we say it's the first Qibla, and all the salah that the Sahaba and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed facing this first Qibla were rewarded in full by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a question that may arise out of this is people might say, well, if the Qibla was changed, then, you know, it doesn't hold any significance for you in your deen anymore. Not so. This move from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to exert and to, you know, showcase His majesty. To say that, you know, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot be confined to any particular direction. And people who, you know, the other sects would want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the direction to remain forever in the direction of Jerusalem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wanted to show that Allah can change the direction to wheresoever He wills. And, you know, the wills of human beings will not be able to underscore the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What's so amazing was that while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform salah in the haram in a way that would allow for him to face Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and the Kaaba Sharif at the very same time. So that is just amazing. I came across a tafsir yesterday which was quite intriguing, and I thought I'll share that with you, that we invite to Islam using commonalities. So we invite the Christians using the fact that we both revere Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam. We invite the Jews using the commonality of our reverence for Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. In the same way, the reason that Allah Jalla Jalalu, immediately when Islam was brought to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, didn't order for an immediate change from Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa was that Allah Jalla Jalalu wanted to show the Jews and the Christians the commonality of the reverence for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa to make it easier for them to accept Islam and gradually make the change where eventually the Sahaba started facing Al-Makkah Mukarramah. Now, I mentioned earlier in the studio we have Brother Muhammad Anwar Tayyib, who is perhaps now the ambassador for Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, the face of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, been traveling for a number of years. Brother Muhammad Anwar, how far back can you record your relationship with Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa?
Brother Shakir, Assalamu Alaikum again. And Brother Ibrahim, you on that side, Assalamu Alaikum. It dates back 10 years ago, 10, 11 years ago. This should be our 11th year, inshallah.
Okay. So initially, we've heard that a group of three trailblazers, very motivated, very inspired, decided to take on this journey. Give us some story behind it, a background to it.
Okay. Brother, a very good friend of mine, Brother Zahir Saleh, a very good brother of mine, Altaf Aku, and myself, sitting around, joking, and alhamdulillah, we decided to go on itikaf. All right, and as you said, trailblazers, and we embarked on this journey. But before that, we put up a notice at Houghton Masjid and requested anybody else to join us. My wife always jokes, she says, my heart is like a taxi, always room for one more. Okay, so the more we got on, the better. And alhamdulillah, we embarked on this journey, and the first year there were 27 people that came along, not realizing the logistic challenges that we were about to face. Not realizing the border challenges, not realizing, alhamdulillah, all these challenges that would come our way. And alhamdulillah, all those challenges actually made the trip more beautiful and more pleasurable.
Would I be correct in saying that the group of 27 South Africans who went to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa were the first foreigners to actually spend itikaf in the recent past?
That is exactly what happened here, Brother Shakir. We got to the masjid and we were all very surprised to find that there were no foreign people. You go to the Haram in Makkah and Medina and alhamdulillah you find thousands of Muslims, millions of Muslims from all over the world that come out there and visit. Masjid Al-Aqsa was totally neglected. And that is actually what inspired us, that actually changed our heart, to realize that this is a place that was neglected and that we needed to invite as many Muslims from around the globe to come along and visit Masjid Al-Aqsa. And Brother Shakir, just to add something in there, alhamdulillah, Allah has really bless this entire project. Because as far as we know, last year Ramadan, there were more than 3,000 to 4,000 foreigners that were actually visiting.
Alhamdulillah.
So you got a great influx. It's now become, alhamdulillah, a massive international event. You got a huge amount of UK citizens. Alhamdulillah, there's Muslims from all over the globe, alhamdulillah, that's actually now sitting itikaf at Masjid al-Aqsa and visiting Masjid al-Aqsa more frequently. And alhamdulillah, we blessed us as South Africans. The Palestinian people actually say that we initiated this entire project. Alhamdulillah. And it's all the South African people, alhamdulillah, that are blessed and will share in this ajr, inshallah, of reigniting visiting Masjid al-Aqsa, alhamdulillah.
What is completely clear when you go to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa that the Palestinian locals truly, truly appreciate the presence of South Africans. You won't doubt that for a single moment. A WhatsApp message coming through saying, Assalamu alaikum, inshallah, I will be leaving for itikaf to Masjid al-Aqsa this year with Mawlana Musa Badat. I have never been overseas before. What advice could those that have visited give me? Inshallah, if you stay tuned to the entire course of the program, I assure you, you will gain a lot of insight into Al-Masjid al-Aqsa as well as attending the orientation program. Hafiz Ibrahim Musa, back to you. Al-Masjid al-Aqsa is documented as the second oldest house of Allah. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, well, there's a lot of confusion sometimes, ignorance on this aspect, where people would understand, the existence of Masjid al-Aqsa, for instance, coming up in the time of Sulaiman alayhi salam only, or for some people their first knowledge of Masjid al-Aqsa or the first recollection of Masjid al-Aqsa comes at the time of the Isra and Mi'raj, and therefore we are very keen to highlight this to as many people as possible. It's something that's an integral part of our deen, established part of our deen, and that is why we have, with yourself, been going from town to town, explaining to people the journey of Masjid al-Aqsa through time. And where does this journey in time begin? It begins 40 years after the establishment of the Kaaba in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And this is based on the hadith of Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, narrated from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he asked the Messenger of Allah, which is the first masjid to be established? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, the Kaaba. And thereafter he is asked, which is the second masjid? And he is told that this is Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, in Al-Quds. And the difference between these two masajid is barely 40 years. And therefore, Masjid al-Aqsa for us and its significance starts right at the cusp of time. Masjid al-Aqsa, according to some narrations, its land was amongst the first lands to be created. And thereafter, right from the beginning, it is established. How was it established? I mean, that is left to conjecture. Many ulama have, given various opinions. A strong opinion amongst them is that Adam alayhi salam, or the angels, were the first to lay the foundations of Masjid al-Aqsa, and thereafter many of the Anbiya who came after that just re-established those foundations. People like Nuh alayhi salam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Dawood alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, and so many other Anbiya who came along were all there to re-establish the foundations of Masjid al-Aqsa that were established right at the beginning.
What might be a point of interest for many of us is that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had two very noteworthy sons. The first was Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, who is the father of the Arabs. So the Arabs are the progeny of Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And then Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam was the other son who became the father of the modern day Jews and the Bani Israel. So that's something interesting for us to know. So after Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam completed the renovations of the Kaaba, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had traveled to Palestine, where he had completed the renovations of Al-Masjid al-Aqsa with his other son, Sayyidina Ishaq alayhi salam. Puti, something that really stood out at Al-Masjid al-Aqsa for me when I visited Al-Masjid al-Aqsa was the interaction you could enjoy with the imams. If you visit Al-Masjid al-Haram, The imams are bodyguarded because of their security, and they need to leave. If you visit Medina, there's a separate door where Sheikh Hudayfi and the rest of the imams leave. Yeah, the imams might join you for breakfast or for suhoor.
Brother Shakir, alhamdulillah, they've taken quite a liking to us. Okay, so alhamdulillah, sometimes at iftar, we are blessed to have the imams actually break their fast with us. Alhamdulillah, certain times they actually invite us to break fast with them. Mm-hmm. Right? Alhamdulillah, some of the brothers, that, inshallah, those that are going to be there on itikaf, myself and the group that we are, we call ourselves the sole purpose. Okay? We're not agents. Okay? The brother that asked what to do on itikaf, we literally serve as guardian angels for you on that side of the border, inside the masjid. So we're there to help you. And one of the fruits of actually coming with on the trip, inshallah, is you keep connected up with us, and inshallah, you get an opportunity to read in the first saf of Masjid al-Aqsa, inshallah. Just stay connected and ask. We can help you with this and connect you up, and you meet the imams and the muazzins, and we get to experience really sacred, special spaces in the masjid. Alhamdulillah. This was made where the head of Masjid al-Aqsa actually came to us a few years ago and asked, brother, how can we serve your people? Look at their beauty and their humility. They're asking, how can they serve us? And alhamdulillah, being South African, and you know, when somebody asked, do you need anything? I said, okay. And alhamdulillah, whatever we requested, the doors opened. Alhamdulillah.
In fact, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is so informal, and this is something absolutely special, that the imams would come to you and ask you, are you from South Africa? Did you bring biltong for us? And to the extent that in the Qiyamul Layl, in the late hours of the night, South African ulama had the opportunity to lead the Qiyamul Layl, amongst them Mulana Rafiq Haturani, amongst them Mulana Tahir Sallu, amongst them Mulana Muhammad Jina of Pritz. So this is an amazing gift from Allah Jalla Jalalu, the informal atmosphere. Let's say, and I'm going to be a bit pessimistic or be quite realistic in saying this, that at the moment Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is occupied. So because Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is occupied, there is no Palestinian government maintaining and running Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Eventually, inshallah, when Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is liberated, it will become a formal structure. And that would mean the imams now become isolated, the imams are now bodyguarded, we won't have access to the imams. So for one reason, whilst Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is occupied, you do have an opportunity of a more blissful itikaf because it is not formalized. So you have the opportunity of mingling with the shuyukh who are teaching durus for years in haram. You have the opportunity of mingling with the imams completely casually. The imams come to the section where the South Africans are sleeping. And that is one of the amazing, amazing beauties of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, a place of spirituality. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, a place of hidayah. Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, a place of acceptance of du'as. If we get a bit personal, what has Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa done for your life?
And I always say, be careful what you ask for when you're in the compound of Masjid Al-Aqsa. Alhamdulillah, whatever, as the human being that I was probably more than 10 years ago, my personal life has changed. I've asked a lot to you. I don't want to go get too personal with it, but the bottom line is, Shakir, alhamdulillah, my life has totally changed on the scores of serving Masjid Al-Aqsa and the people of Palestine. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the opportunity. I truly feel blessed, and inshallah, you know, we can hold the ajr. Alhamdulillah, I've seen hundreds of people come in and lives change by just visiting Masjid Al-Aqsa. There's something that happens to you in this compound. For me and many others, our lives have changed. Okay? I cannot say I've become a better human being. However, some of my family people have actually said it. Alhamdulillah.
And if your wife says that, it really means something. I hope she has to say that.
Alhamdulillah.
when you're enjoying yourself and having a good time, time just flies. I must speak on a personal confession that when we're on radio, we're normally hoping, I hope my content runs me. And today, because we're discussing Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, time is terribly against us. Let's welcome onto the program another guest who's been very involved in itikaf in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, has been going for a number of years, Hafiz Bilal Khan. Hafiz Bilal, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, we really appreciate that despite you feeling unwell, you came onto the program. But normally, if a Hafiz is unwell in the month of Ramadan, there's something fishy. Maybe it's a difficult para.
My brother Bhuti, how are you?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, my brother Bilal?
Alhamdulillah. All good.
Hafizab, we're trying to tackle different parts of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa with the various different guests. Hafizab, in your trip to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and the surroundings, the West Bank, Ramallah, whichever other areas, you must have witnessed terrible poverty, and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa facilitates the ideal opportunity to execute your zakah to very deserving people.
It does. I do think that it definitely does, in the sense that what we've seen there is something that very few people have the opportunity to witness, you know. And like you're saying, you're talking about poverty, and which is really stricken in certain areas. You witness where people don't merely have food for iftar, but they still welcome you into their homes to break with them, whatever they have, you know. And with regard to the zakat and the discharging of your funds that are there, there's no doubt that it is the place to have it discharged to, because it is utmost needed. If you're asking about experiences of what we've witnessed in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, as Bhuti reiterated early on, that it's been a life-changing experience, whether it was in the compound or in Ramallah and the surrounding areas. But it definitely changes you as a person and your outview and your outlook of the way that you look at life, and it definitely makes you appreciate more, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. We in South Africa, we come across recordings from Mecca and Medina, and perhaps because there isn't the websites, the recording system, the infrastructure in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and perhaps it isn't marketed as widely, so we don't come across too many recordings from Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Tell us about the amazing recitation of the Taraweeh in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa.
The Taraweeh in Al-Aqsa, alhamdulillah, is beautiful in the sense that you have our prominent Imam, Sheikh Yusuf, Sheikh Umar Al-Kiswani, Sheikh Saeed Kalkili, with a beautiful voice, Sheikh Salah Al-Akrimawi. And these Imams are not so well known like the Imams of the Harams of Mecca and Medina, because it is not publicized, and inshallah we'll try and get it there, you know. But the Taraweeh in the Masjid, when you are reading behind the Imams, you feel as if though you were taken back in time, in the sense that that Masjid, the compound, the buildings, it's everything's been in its original state and sanctity, you know. Mm-hmm. So you sort of get so encapsulated by this that it becomes overwhelming at times that you don't want it to end.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's so many words to explain it, but at this time you can't sort of describe it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have to ask me, I think overwhelming would be the one that would do it.
Mm-hmm. Amazing, mashallah. The Sheikh Saeed Kalkani, however you pronounce his surname, he cuts an amazing mix between Sheikh Mahir and Sheikh Salah Budair, and really, personally, my personal preference is Sheikh Saeed Kalkali. Bilal, before you leave us, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is 144,000 square meters. Is there one particular place that you retreat to where you enjoy the spirituality of that place, where you would recommend, without allowing the person who comes to steal your spot, but where you would recommend a place to isolate yourself and enjoy the ibadah with Allah Jalla Jalalu?
You know, you're asking a question that's very difficult, because you who have been there have noticed that there's not one place that doesn't give you that feeling, you know, in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. But if you had to ask me, I mean, there were times that we spent in Al Marwani where you would sort of isolate yourself in a corner and try and do the little bit ibadah that you can do. And Al-Marwani, as you know, when it is cold, it's cool, and when it is hot, it's cool. When it is cold, it becomes warm, and when it's hot, it becomes cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Al-Marwani did it for me the most. But there were times when our initial trips of Al-Aqsa is when we actually observed itikaf in the main haram. And to me, I think that was most important because we got to spend maximum time with the local people and not on our own, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we learned a lot from them, and we also learned how much they appreciated people coming to visit Al-Aqsa from other countries, where some of them, they can see the masjid from their homes, which is mainly like a stone's throw access, but they're not allowed to come and visit it. So it's a wide question that you're asking. I mean, I think Al-Aqsa on the whole, every place, every square meter, gives you that feeling no matter where you are.
Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu had said that there isn't a hand span of land in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa where one of the Malaika has not stand or one of the Anbiya had not made sajda, so you wouldn't expect anything less. Habib Bilal, Jazakallah khair for your time. May Allah look after you, and we look forward to being with you in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa.
Ameen.
Ameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And immediately we move on to our next guest who's joining us all the way from Jerusalem, our brother Saleh from the Hashimi Hotel in the actual old city of Jerusalem. Saleh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, ahlan bikum.
Assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, my brother.
Saleh, we really, really appreciate you took out your time at short notice. Saleh, for those who don't know you, perhaps they're living under a rock. But Saleh, the one question I'll initially want to ask, tell us about Saleh. Tell us the background. Did you grow up in Jerusalem? We want to know the people of Jerusalem. Tell us about Saleh.
JazakAllah for khair, Sheikh, and may Allah Azza wa Jalla reward you for making me have this opportunity to speak from your radio and hear my beloved brother's voice as well.
Oh, Alhamdulillah. And with me in studio, you have Brother Muhammad Anwar Bhuti is also with me in studio.
Allahu Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum, Saleh. I'm with you, my brother. What a good guy.
To be honest with you, before I speak about myself, I need to remember, remind everyone, Hadith Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, that man la yashkur al-nas la yashkur Allah. Whoever thanks the people for the good deed that he does, he will not be able to thank Allah.
We would really love to continue this interview with our brother Saleh, but because of the quality of the line, we will have to terminate this interview due to the quality of the line. And Saleh, I really appreciate your time, but it's just that we're so far off and we aren't able to hear you clearly. May Allah give you barakah. We look forward to meeting you. The line is just terrible. Saleh, our apologies. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm going to Maulana Muhammad Ali is currently on the line, or Maulana Muhammad Ali will be on the line very shortly. But it's just a terrible pity, the standard of the line, and we couldn't chat more to Saleh. But the type of excitement he set in, let me tell you, that is Saleh as a unique character from Palestine, but that is the nature of the Palestinians, the type of happiness they bring to you.
The beauty of Palestine is the people, the unique love and generosity. You know, Brother Shakir, you said something about, Bilal said something about people not having anything in their homes. This is the first place I've ever seen in my life that people have nothing and are still prepared to give you everything that they have. The little bit that they have, they will share it with you. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. And let me say to you, so much of barakah in their homes, so much of love and happiness in their homes with so little. Mm-hmm. What an eye-opener. I took my kids, Brother Shakir, And this changed my eldest son's complete perspective on life. Mm. Alhamdulillah, last year I took my youngest son as well. Alhamdulillah. It's an eye-opener for the youngsters out there. Mm. When you are in the compound and when you're visiting the places in Ramallah and the refugee camps around. Alhamdulillah, beautiful experience.
Now at home you sleep on a lovely comfortable bed. In Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa you sleep on the carpet. At home you get from place A to place B with no difficulty. Perhaps a cop might stop you at a bribe station. But you don't have to go through border crossing. You don't have to go through interrogation. At home you're eating, you've got a variety of food. You have that choice. In Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa it may be limited because it's a time of sacrifice. Despite all of the sacrifices, what takes you back every year?
something in my heart. I can't answer that right now. But there's many things. One, something in my heart is, I leave a piece of my heart back in Aqsa. And everybody that's out there that's been to Masjid al-Aqsa, you know what I'm talking about. A piece of your heart stays behind. Like yours, Maulana Shakir. A piece of your heart stayed behind in Aqsa. Most importantly as well, the people. When you're in the compound, the love, the friendliness, the warmth of the Palestinian people itself. Amazing. And the itikaf in Masjid al-Aqsa is quite unique. Because you're not confined to a little area. The compound of the masjid is massive, okay? So you're allowed to roam freely, okay? Which makes your itikaf a lot easier, alhamdulillah.
Mm-hmm. One alim who was with us, in fact, from Lanesia, Maulana Abdullah Badat, went to one of the shuyukh in the haram, and he asked the sheikh, "Oh sheikh, I visited Mecca, I visited Medina, but for some reason, when I visit al-Masjid al-Aqsa, there's an amazing tranquility and sukoon, and I can experience Allah's rahmah." So this sheikh replied to this question saying that if a parent has three children and one child is ailing and the one child is in pain, the parent will focus their attention on the child that is in difficulty, the child that is in pain. And for that reason, in the same way, Allah Jalla Jalalu has kept Mecca and Medina safe, and Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is in a difficult condition, and for that reason, Allah Jalla Jalalu's rahmah and mercy is descending to those who, notwithstanding all the challenges, go to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Now on the line, it is truly our honor to have one of our seniors, Maulana Muhammad Ali from Middleburg, to have him with us on the program. Last year, he was part of the group that went to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and people really benefited from Maulana's presence. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will mention this on air because it is the responsibility of a believer to thank others. When I started off in my very early days of my career on Radio Islam, and I used to persistently phone very certain ulama to ask them to come onto the program to help me out, and one of the ulama who used to help me out a lot is Maulana Muhammad Ali. So may Allah give Maulana barakah. Maulana, Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is a place of so much barakah, so much historic background, so much involvement of various different anbiya. Can we say Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is the perfect dynamic for a person who is hoping to attain hidayah to go to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, and he can get proximity to Allah Jalla Jalalu at Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa?
Alhamdulillah, you couldn't have put it more better. When a person goes to Masjid Al-Aqsa, then I will say in my humble, broken way, though I'm not one of the people who even supposed to say it, I'm nowhere there, but Masjid Al-Aqsa is a place that Allah Ta'ala describes as barakna hawlahu, blessed, and the presence of so many anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam who came there, and whose nuraniyat, whose spirituality has definitely been left in that place. So many anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam were there. I mean, 124,000 anbiya were there on the night with Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the presence of one Nabi in one spot of any part of the earth for one second leaves behind his spirituality. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if somebody is in Masjid Al-Aqsa, he is benefiting from so many sparkling spiritual diamonds at one time.
Allahu Akbar.
That, alhamdulillah, you can't think better. Then over and above that, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in were there by the thousands. Mm-hmm. And like right now, there are graves of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhim Ajma'in in that area. So obviously what you say, when you go there, there can't be a better place. We're not undermining Makkah, Mukarramah, Madinah, Munawwara. They have their own Nuraniyat and Ruhaniyat. We are talking now of Masjid Al-Aqsa, which has got so many different multifaceted, what we can call lights and spiritualities at one time.
Munana, the biggest challenge every time on radio is time, and I've got so much to ask you. Yes. But if I can just condense two questions. The first is, how emphasized from the hadith is the visiting of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa? And the second is, what was the highlight of Maulana's trip last year?
SubhanAllah, the whole trip was the highlight. But let's go to the first question. The first question you asked that, what was it again, Maaf?
How emphasized is visiting Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa from the hadith?
You know, there is one hadith where we didn't realize it when we read it in the younger days. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointedly said, visit it if you can, and if you can't, then you must send something for the oil there, right?
Yeah.
There is a hadith with regard to going to that place. Now, when we are there, there was one person I spoke to, and I think he covered it up all. He said, Al-Masjid al-Aqsa Maghmoon. He said, Masjid al-Aqsa is a very sad masjid.
Mm.
You know, if there isn't anyone, if there was somebody who could put it more beautiful, it is that. And what is the sadness? The sadness is on account of the neglect of the people who have forgotten about Masjid al-Aqsa and about the zulm that is being made there. Therefore, just now you gave a very beautiful example of a sick child, you know. So that being the case, that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew a time is going to come when this masjid is going to be in this condition. That is more than enough for anyone to know that our presence there is going to change Masjid al-Aqsa to happiness. You know, I say it's sad.
Mm.
So really, it is sad. And when we are there in the month of Ramadan, Wallahi al-Azim, you can feel a different environment. So it is, the sadness is there, but it is different. And the day after Eid, you can just feel that whole sadness. It is totally deserted again. It is totally deserted.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the highlight of my trip was concerned, like I said, there were so many aspects that were what you call it, that I can say about. But I think the most potent time for me used to be the time between Asr and Maghrib at that time, when there are hundreds of Muslimin there, or maybe thousands also, all just, you know, sitting and some making tilawat and some waiting for iftar. So that entire long, is a long period there between Asr and Maghrib. It's not like ours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And subhanAllah, the ruhaniyat and the nuraniyat at that time, I think it is at its peak. I mean, I don't know, I'm such a sinful guy to even speak of this type of thing. Mm. I don't even know. But really, it's just such a serene feeling at that time. So every day at that time, it's just something I have to look forward to.
We really can't do justice to the excellence of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa in just one short hour. But Maulana Muhammad Ali, we really appreciate your time. May Allah take you over and over. May Allah give you barakah. And may Allah give us the opportunity of spending time with you in these Mubarak lands, inshallah.
I'll be honored to spend time with you. I'll be just one of the guys.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This hour has come to an end so quickly in the demands of ad breaks and the rest. So we will just have to bring the program to a close. But I can assure you, early next week, the program will be podcasted and you will be able to download it. Final 2 minutes and your final message, Brother Muhammad Anwar, before we end the program.
Just to the listeners out there, just to make it easy for you, those that want to visit Masjid Al-Aqsa, number one, you don't need, South Africans are fortunate enough, we don't need a visa to visit. So many a times I've actually booked my ticket the night before. Okay, so those of you that want to go to Masjid Al-Aqsa, you don't need any visa to get there. Okay, I suppose there's some agreement between the countries, alhamdulillah, which works to our advantage. Secondly, we would advise you that if you want to come through, group up. Okay, there are on the website recommendation for you where we've chosen certain people to help you through with logistics. Okay, and thirdly, when you get to the other side. Okay, that's when our team, the sole purpose, okay, will be there to help you with any of your challenges or difficulties. Our purpose is to make your journey as easy as possible. So from the logistics to any challenge that you have in your life on that side, we are to serve humbly and to make it easy for anybody that visits Masjid Al-Aqsa. And I always say, you want to help the people of Palestine, you just have to do one thing. Visit Masjid al-Aqsa, and that alone is your help to the people of Palestine.
Allahu Akbar.
And serving Allahu Masjid al-Aqsa.
Allahu Akbar. The website again is www.aqsa.co.za. Visit that website, and inshallah, this year we're structuring programs which consist of 4 ulama, and throughout the 10 days there will be spiritually enriching programs that will allow and facilitate for us to become closer to Allah, Jalla Jalalu, inshallah. Until next time, next week when we do speak again, from myself, I officially sign off, and Brother Muhammad Anwar signing off as well. Next week we will speak again. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.